Will you please turn to 2 Corinthians, second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1. We'll read from verse 3 through verse 7. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all encouragement, who encourages us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to encourage those who are in any tribulation whatever, through the encouragement with which we ourselves are encouraged of God. Because even as the sufferings of the Christ abound towards us, so through the Christ does our encouragement also abound. But whether we are in tribulation, it is for your encouragement and salvation, wrought in the endurance of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is sure, for it is for your encouragement and salvation, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so also of the encouragement. And then the last chapter, chapter 13. Just one verse, verse 11. Chapter 13, verse 11. So the rest, brethren, rejoice. Be perfected. Be encouraged. Be of one mind. Be at peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we just commit thy word into thy hand and ask thee to bless it and break it and distribute to us, that we may be fed, we may be satisfied, that we may glorify thy name. We commit this time into thy hands and trust thy Holy Spirit to do the work. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Second Corinthians is very different from 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, we find problems and problems. But in 2 Corinthians, we see glory after glory. In 1 Corinthians, we see carnality. Say, but live according to the flesh. In 2 Corinthians, we see spirituality. Say, and live in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians, we see the pitiful conditions of the Corinthian church. In 2 Corinthians, we see the glorious light of Paul, a servant of the Lord. What makes the difference from 1 Corinthians to 2 Corinthians actually is the working of the cross in life. If we allow the cross work in our life, then you'll find we will be delivered from carnality. And we will be brought into spirituality. Now, 2 Corinthians shows us Christ in spirituality. In other words, spirituality is Christ. If it is not Christ, it is not spiritual. If it is you, if it is me, then it's bound to be carnal, not spiritual. But if it's Christ in you, or Christ in me, then that is spiritual. It is as simple as that. so far as the historical background of this letter is concerned. Probably Paul wrote this letter somewhere in Macedonia. Probably at 57 A.D. And the occasion or the background you can find in the book of Acts, chapter 20, from verse 1 through verse 6. It is during that period that Paul wrote this second letter to the Corinthians. And this was to be followed by 3 months' stay in Corinth. He wrote this letter after he had heard good news from Corinth. You remember when he wrote the first letter? He wrote it in tears. And now, through Titus, good news was brought to him that many in the church in Corinth had repented. And because of this, he wrote this letter as a letter of encouragement. Now you'll find in the first chapter he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all encouragement." Now in some versions you'll find the word encouragement is comfort. But actually, in the original, it means comfort, strengthening, encouraging. It is the cognate word with the name given to the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is Paracletos, and this is Paracletus. So here you'll find this word comfort, encourage, console, strengthen, coming alongside to help. So this is the kind of letter 2 Corinthians really is. He wrote this letter to encourage those who have repented, to strengthen them, to come alongside with them, and to help them into maturity, into spirituality. Therefore, you'll find in the beginning of this letter, he mentioned about whether we are in suffering, it is for your encouragement and salvation. Or in our encouragement or comfort, it is also for your encouragement and salvation. And then at the end of the letter, he concludes with, for the rest. Brethren, rejoice, farewell, rejoice, be perfected, be matured, grow up, be encouraged, strengthened, be of one mind, be at peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So it is a letter of encouragement. But we know from this letter, as well as from the background, that even though the majority of the people in the church in Corinth repented, yet there were still a minority, some who still continue in sin, refused to repent, and there were still some who opposed the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So here you'll find in the same letter, he mentioned that, on this account I write these things, being absent, that being present I may not use severity, according to the authority which the Lord has given me for building up and not for overthrowing. He wrote this letter also to those who refused to repent, who opposed the authority that God has given to Paul. He said, I wrote this letter to prepare you. I do not want that when I come to you, I have to use the severity according to the authority God has given to me. And that authority is not for overthrowing. It is for building up. So it is a two-edged sword. On the one hand, it is for encouragement to those who repent. And on the other hand, it is for warning to those who refuse to repent. This letter of the Apostle Paul is one that gives us a very intimate view of the apostle as a person. You know, of all the writings of the Apostle Paul, there are two letters that in a sense expose, disclose, reveal that man, Paul as a person. Two letters. One is Philippians. There you'll find how he opened his heart to these Philippian believers who love him so much. There is a mutual love between Paul and these believers, and he opened his heart to them and had a heart-to-heart talk with them. And the other letter is 2 Corinthians. There is no other letter, aside from the Philippian letter, that reveals Paul as a person, as a man. He revealed himself, exposed himself, as it were, without any, even the thinnest, artificial veil. He let us see himself as he is. And that's the reason why 2 Corinthians is so precious. There you'll find all the different feelings of Paul are being revealed. Sometimes he is in anger. Sometimes he is in anguish. Sometimes he is in fear. Sometimes he is hesitating. Sometimes he is dull. You find sometimes he is full of love. Every kind of feelings are revealed in this letter. Through this letter we can see Paul, that man. But as we see Paul, that man, gradually we find Paul received. And Christ comes to the front. In other words, we see Christ in Paul. In this letter, how he mentioned that a sentence of death was upon him, how he gave up every hope of even living, and yet he said, our hope is in him who raised Christ from the dead. In this letter, you find how Paul changed his mind. He was thinking of going to Corinth and pay them a double visit. But when he was in Troas, he changed his mind. Instead of going to Corinth, he went to Macedonia. And people accused him as a person that vacillates. Yes, he changed. But he said, the Christ that I preach is always yea and always amen. He never changes. There you'll find the Apostle Paul reveals to us how he always had the dying of Jesus in him. But the life of Jesus is also manifested in him. You'll find in this letter how Paul mentions how much he suffered, and yet you'll find out of all these sufferings, what consolation, what encouragement, what ministry has been produced. So all in all, you'll find one thing. That is, when Paul is exposing himself, all his weaknesses, all his changeableness, all his failures, as it were, in people's eyes, all his pains and suffering, you find when Paul is opening up himself to us, we do not see Paul, we see Christ. And that is spirituality. His second letter to the Corinthians can be roughly divided into three parts. The first part is from chapter 1 through chapter 7. Spiritual ministry. The second part is chapter 8 and chapter 9. Spiritual living. The third part is chapter 10 through chapter 13. Spiritual man. So here you'll find in this letter, Paul is trying to share with us what is spiritual ministry. Dear brothers and sisters, Paul said, having this ministry, that is in chapter 4, verse 1. Now, of course, we do not all have that kind of ministry that Paul has. In other words, God has given Paul a special ministry, the ministry of an apostle. Now, not all are apostles. We are not apostles. We are not given that special ministry. But when Paul mentioned about ministry, even though he is mentioning about his ministry, yet the principle that he reveals to us applies to all ministries. Now, dear brothers and sisters, in a sense, every believer has a ministry. Whether you fulfill it or not, that is a question. But nevertheless, every believer has a ministry. Because we are all priests unto God. We have a ministry. Our ministry is called the body ministry. That is to say, we are members of the body. And as a member in the body, every member has a ministry towards the body and towards the head. Everyone has to minister one to another in the body for the building up of the body and the glorifying of the head. So, dear brothers and sisters, do remember you have a ministry to fulfill as a member of the body of Christ. You are not just here, sitting passively, receiving all the time. But you are in the body receiving, but also giving. You are to receive what the Lord has through other brothers and sisters who minister to you. And at the same time, you are to minister to your brother and your sisters. So in principle, we find that the ministry that we are all engaged with ought to be a spiritual ministry. If what we minister to other people is ourselves, this is not spiritual ministry. But if we minister Christ to other people, then it is spiritual ministry. If we minister ourselves to people, it is a ministry of death. But if we minister Christ to people, it is a ministry of life. So it is very important that we understand what spiritual ministry really is. So that when we minister, it will be spiritual. It will not be carnal. You know, in 1 Corinthians, we find that the members of the body there, they do minister. But the more they minister, the worse the body becomes. Why? It is because they are not ministering Christ to the body. They are ministering themselves to the body. They display themselves instead of displaying Christ. So we need to understand what is spiritual ministry, which we are all involved with. Now, do not be afraid. You know, in the parable that our Lord Jesus mentioned, there is one servant. He is afraid whether he can minister spiritually or he will be ministering carnally, so he buried his talent. He said that's the best thing to do, so he won't make any mistake. And you know, when the Lord comes back, how the Lord said, "You are wicked and lazy servant." Now, even if you feel unable to do anything, give it to the bank, that you get the interest at least. So, brothers and sisters, do try to hide what the Lord has given to you and bury it. Use it for the Lord. And of course, in the process, you will learn what is spiritual and what is carnal. What is spiritual ministry? Number one, spiritual ministry is a ministry of encouragement. We have already mentioned that encouragement means comfort, strengthening, means coming along to help. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, the strengthener, the paracletos, the one that comes alongside and help. And our ministry, if it is spiritual, it should have the same nature and the same quality. But remember, in order to have such a ministry of encouragement, it does not come just by knowledge. It has to come by personal experience. In other words, you cannot comfort a person. You cannot strengthen a person. You cannot encourage a person if all that you have are but words. Maybe they are the right words, but they are not the powerful word. You know, sometimes we are like the three friends of Job. They came to visit Job with good intention. They wanted to help. But the more they tried to help, the worse it became. Because they didn't have such experience. All their words come from their study. All their words come from tradition. And as you read the book of Job, you will find what they say are right. They haven't said anything wrong. But unfortunately, these words do not apply. You know, sometimes you may say the right word, but to the wrong person. So he is not comforted. He is not encouraged. Brothers and sisters, here you'll find the Apostle Paul. What sufferings he has gone through. He said, "The sentence of death was upon me. I have given up all hope. It is a hopeless case." But when he was in that kind of situation, the Lord lifted him out, and he realized, he experienced the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And having such experience, you'll find he can comfort those who are helpless and hopeless. He can say to the Corinthian believers, "You are hopeless and yet not hopeless. There is still hope. But the hope is not in you. The hope is in Him. He is our hope." God is the God of all comfort. and the Father of all compassion. Dear brothers and sisters, when we try to minister to one another, do we just minister out of our own study, or out of tradition, out of our mind? We may have the best of intentions, but it will be of no avail if God will use us to encourage our brothers and sisters. Oftentimes you'll find it comes out of our personal experience. Probably you have to go through a lot in order to help others. And remember, God never allows us to go through anything just for ourselves. Whatever we have gone through in life and learned Christ, it is for the body. It is for ministry, that we may have something to offer. We may have something to give to the church. Spiritual ministry is a ministry of love. You find in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says, I wrote the first letter to you, for out of much tribulation and distress of heart I wrote to you with many tears, not that ye may be grieved, but that ye may know the love which I have very abundantly towards you. When he wrote the first letter, it seemed it was a very harsh letter, a very strong letter. But he said, I wrote it out of much tribulation and distress of heart. Oh, I was so agonizing with tears. I wrote it with tears. Not that I want to put you to grief. No, but it is because I love you so much. It is out of love. You know, brothers and sisters, we are not here just try to please everybody. You know, it is easy. Try to please everyone. It is difficult sometimes. Try to hurt someone, but in love. Paul knew that his letter would hurt them very deeply. But because he loved them so much, he could not afford not to speak the truth in love. In a sense, you will see that it cost Paul even more than it cost the Corinthian believers. Brothers and sisters, if our ministry does not cost us anything, it is not. If our ministry does not come from our love, and the love here is not human love. Human love will try to please everyone. And in pleasing others, you please yourself too. The divine love, agape love, loves so much that you are able even to hurt. But of course, you hurt yourself first. It is a ministry of love. Oh, that God will fill us with his love, that we may love one another so much that we are able to speak the truth. Not just try to hurt everyone, but sometimes, if it is necessary, it has to be done. It may hurt you more than the one to whom will be hurt. Spiritual ministry is a ministry of the fragrance of Christ. In chapter 3, you'll find Paul said, thanks be to God who always leads us in Christ and make manifest the odor of His knowledge through us in every place. For we are a sweet odor of Christ to God in the saved and in those that perish. Spiritual ministry is a ministry of the fragrance of Christ. You know, fragrance is a most mystic thing. It is seemingly intangible. You cannot see it. You cannot hear it. But it is here. And if it is here, you smell it. You know it is here. And oftentimes you find that odor of fragrance goes farther than sight and sound. You may not hear anything yet. You may not see anything yet. But you have already smelled it. And sometimes you'll find it has a more lasting effect upon you too. Sound may come and go. Sight, you may see. And then it's lost. But odor, you carry it with you for a while. You remember in Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 11, when the prophet speaks about Moab, Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 11, it says, Moab has been at ease from his youth and has settled on his lees. He had not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither had he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste had remained in him, and his scent is not changed. You know, that's Moab. Moab has never been emptied from vessel to vessel. You know, when you make a wine, you have to pour from vessel to vessel so that all the sediments will sink down and then the wine will be clear and pure. But Noah has never been emptied. In other words, he has such a comfortable time. He has never been dealt with. He is always settling on his lee. And the result is his taste has never changed. His scent has never changed. He has the same smell. And what is that smell? The arrogance of Moab. Moab is proud, arrogant. Now, dear brothers and sisters, that's a description of the natural man. That's a description of a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian is one who has not been dealt with. He remains the same. Even though he is saved, yet he has not been emptied from vessel to vessel. That is to say, he has not been purified. And because the cross has never worked in his life, the result is his taste remains the same. His sin is not changed. In other words, you can still smell the original smell. But thank God, Paul said, wherever we go, we carry the fragrance of Christ. Why? Because Paul has been emptied from vessel to vessel. All the original taste and scent had gone. And now it is the fragrance of Christ. To those who are saved, it is life. To those who perish, it is death. Dear brothers and sisters, a spiritual ministry does not require words to say, or even deeds to do. A spiritual ministry is the very presence of that person does the work and saves the world. We ought to have a special scent. Wherever we go, people will smell the fragrance of Christ. And this fragrance of Christ comes from the knowledge of Christ. That is, from the experiential knowledge of Christ. The more you know Christ, the more fragrant you are. And this is a ministry. A spiritual ministry is a ministry of the Spirit. There in chapter 3 you'll find Paul says, we are writing the epistles of Christ. You know, the Corinthian believers, the church in Corinth, is a letter. What kind of letter? It ought to be a letter of Christ. In other words, the Corinthian church is to be read. And when people read the Corinthian church, they ought to read Christ. They ought to see Christ. Because they are supposed to be a letter of Christ. And that is what we are to be. We are to be a letter of Christ. Paul is the scribe. The thing he used is the Holy Spirit. And the letter he writes is Christ. In other words, he is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, writing Christ alphabet by alphabet, letter by letter, writing upon the heart of the Corinthian believers. And that is what spiritual ministry is. We are not writing on stones. We are writing upon human hearts. We are not just writing upon people's minds. We are writing upon their hearts. And how do we write? What ink do we use? The power of the Holy Spirit. And what do we write upon human hearts? Christ. We do not preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ, Lord. This is our ministry. So, dear brothers and sisters, you find in the first four chapters, Paul shows us what spiritual ministry is. It is a ministry of encouragement, a ministry of love, a ministry of the fragrance of Christ, and it is a ministry of the Spirit. Then in chapters 4 and 5, he shows us what kind of a minister he is. You know, the first four chapters show us the ministry. And then the second two chapters, that is chapters 4 and 5, show us the minister. He said, having this ministry. Now, what do we do? What kind of a person we ought to be? Now, it is important because our ministry has much to do with the minister. if we are the wrong person, we will not have the right ministry. Even if the Lord may use us, you will find that we will build up and will tear down everything that we have built up, and even more. So the minister is very important. In other words, what kind of vessel we are. And here in these two chapters, you find Paul shows us, number one, he is a pure vessel. In chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, he said, having this ministry, as we have had mercy shown us, we faint not. But we have rejected the hidden things of shame, not walking in deceit, nor falsifying the word of God, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every conscience of man before God. Brothers and sisters, when we try to minister, remember, we are commending ourselves to every conscience of man before God. We are not just minister with words. We are not just minister with deeds. We are not just trying to serve brothers and sisters with the gifts that God has given to us. More, you'll find that when you minister, actually you are commending yourself to the conscience of your brothers and sisters. If in the conscience of your brothers and sisters there is an accusation, if in the conscience of the brothers and sisters there is some ground for them to doubt, then you'll find your ministry is hindered. Your ministry is broken. We need to commend ourselves. The vessel has to be pure. If there is any impurity there, if anything hidden there, you'll find it will affect the ministry and how we need to be pure before God. Oh, that the Spirit of God will search our hearts, that He may purify us, that there will be no ulterior motive in us, that our whole motive is just towards Him. Brothers and sisters, we need to commend ourselves to the conscience of all the brothers and sisters before God. And for this, how we need the blood of the Lord Jesus. And then secondly, you'll find the vessel must be a broken vessel. You cannot keep yourself intact. If you try to keep yourself whole, that is, your soul, life whole, you will find the radiancy of the treasure in that vessel will be hidden. We are vessels, earthen vessels. But we have a treasure in us. And the power of the radiancy is of God and not of us. But for the light the inner life of Christ may be manifested. And that's the reason why Paul said, in every way afflicted, but not. That is to say, afflicted, but not crushed. Seeing no apparent issue, but our way not entirely shut up. Oftentimes we are brought to our wit's end, but not to our lives' end. persecuted, but not abandoned. Knocked down, but not knocked out. Bearing in our body the slaying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in us and may be manifested in you. Brothers and sisters, this is a broken vessel. Only a vessel that has been broken, Christ can be ministered. Otherwise, all that you minister is yourself. People will touch your cleverness. People will touch your dynamic personality. But people cannot touch Christ. A broken vessel. And then thirdly, a minister is a constrained. There in chapter 5 he said, I'm constrained. Constrained with the love of Christ. Knowing that one died for all that all died. So that all who live no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and lived for us. Brothers and sisters, we need to be constrained by the love of Christ. Not out of duty, but out of when the love of Christ constrains us, then we are able to be that vessel fit for the Master's use. And then, of course, in chapter 6 and chapter 7, you'll find the ministered. In other words, here you'll find the first 4 chapters, the ministry. And then 4 and 5, the minister. And 6 and 7, the ministered. Those who are being ministered. Now, those who are being ministered have their responsibility too. Number 1, you'll find in chapter 6, verse 1, we also beseech that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, the grace of God has been ministered to you. Christ has been ministered to you. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. In other words, do not let the grace of God just fall off from you. But let the grace of God work in your life so that you too may be gracious. And secondly, be not diversely yoked with unbelievers. Be separated. Do not be unequally yoked with the world. Come out of the world. And be separated. And God said, then you shall be my sons and my daughters. And then thirdly, chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us purify ourselves from every pollution of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in God's fear. Let us purify not only our body, our flesh, but even our spirit. Perfect in holiness, in the fear of God. Now this is spiritual ministry. Then of course we find chapters 8 and 9, spiritual giving. You know, brothers and sisters, giving is a ministry. Do nothing giving, which is physical or material, that it is not spiritual. As a matter of fact, oftentimes you'll find the test of spirituality is in giving. We should give spiritually, because giving is spiritual. Why? To a carnal person, it is getting. But to a spiritual person, it is giving.
today we separate giving from so-called spiritual ministry. As if giving is not spiritual. But according to the Word of God, you find that giving is as spiritual as any other ministry. Because giving is according to the giving of God. God gives. And God gives in such a manner. Christ gives. He being rich. Who is as rich as Him? And yet, for our sake, He becomes poor, that we might be enriched in Him. Now that's giving. Giving is patterned as the God's giving. Giving is the spirit of the giving of Christ. And that's the reason why you'll find giving in the scripture in chapters 8 and 9. It is called grace. Giving is grace. Why is it grace? Because it is the grace of God that enables us to give. All that we have comes from Him. It is His grace. And His grace constrains us that we gain. So it is called grace. It is also called blessing. Why? Because as we are blessed by God, we bless Him by giving. Do not think that giving is wrong. You know, today people think of giving as law. Now, who can keep the law? But giving is grace. Look at the Macedonians, Paul said. Because of the abundant grace of God upon them, out of their deep poverty, they give abundantly, beyond their measure. And they give in such a way, not just give material things, they give themselves to God first, and to us, apostles, that they may have a part in the grace and fellowship that we are engaged with, that is, for the poor in Judea, in Jerusalem. That's grace. Brothers and sisters, let us give graciously. Give as He gives. Let us give in a spiritual way and not in a legalistic way, as if we cannot get out of it. We are caught. But give because God has been gracious to us. God has blessed us so much. We have to bless Him. We have to show grace that He may be glorified. Give until Christ is glorified. That is spiritual giving. And then, of course, chapter 10 through chapter 13, the spiritual man. Not only a ministry that is spiritual, a giving that is spiritual, but a man is spiritual. Now, who is a spiritual man? Simply put, a spiritual man, Paul says, is a man in Christ. He said, I know a man in Christ. 14 years ago, he was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. I know a man in Christ 14 years ago he was caught away to paradise and heard things unutterable. Whether in the body or out of body, I don't know. And for that man I boast, but for myself, I have nothing to boast but my weaknesses. Dear brothers and sisters, who is a spiritual man? A spiritual man is a man in Christ. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ. If you abide in Christ, then you'll find every spiritual blessing has been, is yours. God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Not in yourself, but in Christ. God has put us all in Christ, but we need to abide in Christ. Positionally, by His grace, we are all in Christ. We ought to be all spiritual men and women. But conditionally, we may abide in Him, or we may not abide. But if we abide in Him, that is, make our home in Him, then we shall bear fruit to the glory of God. Paul said, I do not know whether in the body or out of the body. You think he's not telling the truth? Of course he's telling the truth. He knows the man in Christ. But when that man experienced third heaven and paradise, he didn't know whether it's in the body or out of the body. He didn't know. In other words, he is trying to tell us, of that man in Christ I have much to boast, but of myself there's nothing to boast of except my will. A spiritual man is a man who does not speak about himself. A spiritual man is a man who is not even conscious of himself. A spiritual man forgets himself. And all he is conscious of is Christ. That's a spiritual man. If you read these few chapters, you'll find a number of things concerning that spiritual. He is a man powerful, according to God. In other words, he is not a man fighting in the flesh. He is a man whose arms of warfare is powerful before God. Divinely. He is a man of prayer. Not a man of argument, a man of prayer. Because he is powerful, according to God, to the overthrowing of all the strongholds of the enemy, all the thoughts and imaginations of the mind, carrying them and into captivity and bring them into obedience. A spiritual man is a man with authority. Not the natural authority of position, but the spiritual authority of love. A spiritual man is a man with the holy zeal of God. He said, I am jealous with you with the jealousy of God. For I have espoused you as virgins, chaste virgins, to one man. Oh, a spiritual man is a man filled with a holy zeal of God. Just like the Lord said, the zeal of thy house has devoured me. A spiritual man is a man who suffers for the sake of Christ. Paul mentioned how much he suffered. Not only physically, mentally, spiritually. All the cares of all the church are upon his heart. He said, "Who stumbled?" And I burned not. A spiritual man is a man with visions and revelations. The Lord has shown him his purpose. A spiritual man is a man who knows the sufficient grace of God. He knows God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Such is a spiritual man. In a word, a spiritual man is a man in Christ. A spiritual man is Christ in that man. So 2 Corinthians reveals to us Christ in spirituality. What is spirituality? We ought to ask that question. We ought to be spiritual. Our ministry ought to be spiritual. That it will really build up the body. Our bidding ought to be spiritual, that God may be glorified. Our person ought to be spiritual, that Christ may be manifested. But what? What is spirituality? Spirituality is a person, Christ. Christ in you is spiritual. May the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank thee because thou hast put Christ in us and we in Christ. We praise and thank thee that all the secret is there, all the power is there, all the glory is there. We only ask that thou will open our eyes and our understanding and our heart, that we may see Christ as our spiritual ministry, our spiritual giving, and even our spiritual person, that we may see him as our all. Oh, do reveal Christ to us in an increasing manner, that we may be transformed and conformed to his image, to the glory of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus.